or if they talk too much, or if they throw things, you know. Eventually you reach a tolerance level where a lot of us will have a problem. Okay, so even someone that's really nice, someone that you like and love, you have to bear with them too, because they're not going to do exactly what you want to do all the time. In fact, even yourself, if you could clone yourself and live with yourself, you know what? You'd annoy yourself. You would. It's true. You would annoy yourself. So just the very fact that there are other people in the universe means that we have to put up with that inconvenience. You're in my favorite seat. You're always doing that. Okay. You're in my parking space. Okay. So we just have to bear with some things. It's not that the other person has done something wrong or has tried to do something wrong or is morally guilty. It's just they're being who they are, and I just don't like that. I wish you'd lower your voice. I wish you wouldn't do that. I wish you wouldn't have come now. I wish you would have come later. Okay? So bear with one another. Some things we can just say, look, I can overcome this. I can deal with this. I don't even have to mention it. Okay? So some things you could say, would you please not do that? You could just say, look, it's okay. You're on the phone. It's an open plan office and you talk very loud. Will I say it to you? I can bear with it. Okay. It's not all the time. It's about 20 minutes a day. I can bear with it. Or you might decide at a certain point to go and talk to that person. Say, look, would you mind when you're making a phone call, would you mind going into the private office? So just these little things, just life. Okay. But here's what the scripture says to us. Bear with one another. And it's one another. It's not with like people outside that you don't agree with. It's people who are family, the family of faith. Bear with one another. In fact, the most difficult people to get on with are the people closest to you. You know that, don't you? Because strangers walking on the street, they don't annoy you much. Because, well, you don't know what they think or what they say or anything else. But people you're close to are people that there will be a certain amount of attrition, aggravation with. Okay, and that's a two-way thing. We all just have to live and get on with each other. So, where we can, let's do this thing. It's the first and simplest thing. You don't even have to let the person know that you're bearing with them. You don't have to say, I'm putting up with you. Okay, you just do it. Say, okay, it's not what I want, but hey, I can live with this. Bear with each other. Okay, so there's the first thing is just, you deal with it. How are we doing so far? Does this sound good? Sound like a plan? Okay. Bear with each other. Ooh, here's a big topic. Bear with each other and forgive one another. Now there's something to forgive, okay? Now they're not just being themselves, but, you know, they broke it and it's mine, okay? Or they were late again, okay? Or whatever it might be. Bear with one another and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's in Colossians. And in Ephesians, it says, Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. There's that sort of reflection again. It's like this: God behaves, God forgave you, you forgive others. Those two ideas are often put together. And sometimes when someone's really difficult to forgive, part of the challenge is forgive them the way I want God to forgive me. So it puts it into a different sort of context. Forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, forgiveness. I think generally we're pretty bad at forgiveness. And either we don't forgive at all, and I know some people who are still, if I meet them today, I know they'll be talking about something that happened 25 years ago. It's 25 now, because whenever I see them, out comes this thing that person should have done, and they're waiting for that person to come and say they're sorry. Like, that's not going to happen. Okay? I did ring someone after 25 years to apologize for something when I thought of it, but it doesn't happen much. Okay, so either we don't forgive, which is a bad thing, or we forgive too quickly, which is a bad thing. You see, sometimes instead of actually acknowledging that there's something to forgive, we say, ah, no, it's nothing. In fact, in some languages, that's how you say it's okay. Say, ah, nada, nada. Is that Spanish or French or something? Okay, when you say thank you, they say nada, nada. It's nothing. It's not nothing. It's a burger. It's brilliant. Okay, thanks, man. Cool. Okay, so when you forgive, you're not forgiving nothing. You're forgiving something. Are we cool? So sometimes we want to minimize. We think forgiveness means minimizing it. I know it didn't matter. It did matter. Someone took what was yours. It matters. Okay? You mightn't be the king of the universe, but still, you matter. Everybody matters. When there's something to forgive, there is an offense. And sometimes we're so keen to be good Christians and stay out of trouble with God, they want to jump the forgiveness stage before we even acknowledge that there has been an offense. When you forgive something. You don't forgive nothing. And so if it takes you a little time, I mean, don't spend your whole life, but if it takes you some time to grieve the loss, to recognize there's an offense, that's okay. It means you're being real about it. You're not just trying to get around it. You're dealing with it. You're going through this problem. So forgiveness means there is something to forgive. You have wronged me, whether it's big or small. And it's amazing the things that impact us. Sometimes it's not the big things, it's the little things. But hey, that's just the way we are. And we're all peculiar and we're all different. Okay, someone might put up with a great offense. For example, I don't want to start a political speech now, but the Irish people put up with a 60 billion debt, which probably wasn't really their debt in all fairness. But 160 euro per household for water charges, that was a step too far. 60 billion, 160. I'm just saying, I'm not wanting to make a political point about it, I'm just saying sometimes a certain thing offends someone. Something else they can bear with. And it's not that it's big and it's small. It's just whatever way it works out. Anyway, someone has done you wrong. If you've lived on this planet for any length of time, someone has wronged you. And perhaps you've even wronged other people. But anyway, someone has wronged you. So you know this feeling. And in fact, there's probably one particular offense that's been quite grievous to you. And it has really hurt your heart and has been difficult to deal with. Someone maybe that was close to you. And something that just particularly impacted you because of what it was, how it was done. And this to you is a really big thing. And it's not easy to forgive. It's not, because it is a real offense. And you think, if I forgive this, am I letting this person away with it? Am I saying that it was okay? No, you're not. Forgiveness doesn't mean saying it's okay, it didn't matter. Forgiveness is not that. Forgiveness is saying, this was an offense, but I will not personally punish you. Forgiveness is saying, or responding, God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. If someone hurts me, should I hurt them back in return? No. Forgiveness is me saying, you have done wrong to me, but I will not be the one to correct you. I will not demand payment from you. And I will not punish you for it. That's God's business. God can punish you, not even though the offense is to me, not my job to punish you. And the way we punish people who hurt us is usually by the way we talk about them, maybe to other people. If their name comes up in a conversation, we let other people know that they're bad people so that their reputation will be pulled down in the eyes of others. Okay? And when we forgive, that's what we decide not to do. We decide not to punish them by slander, not to punish them by faint praise, or not to punish them by trying to give them a bad reputation in the eyes of others. And it's a struggle. Forgiveness is a struggle because the offense is real and the pain is real. And you may have to deliberately work at it for a time, and it may come back to your mind and say, no, I am not going to let this person go on living rent-free in my head. Because, of course, when you forgive, it's yourself you set free. If someone has offended you, they're off doing their thing. You're there thinking, you're fuming. You're the one who's in trouble. When you forgive them, you become free. And God can get on with supervising their life in the way he thinks best. Okay? He will bring reality to them in some form or another. A correction, a consequence of what they've done. Or they may come into a place of repentance. And sometimes when you've been really offended, you don't want that person to repent. You don't want God to forgive them either. But that's not your business how God deals with it. You say, God, everyone's soul belongs to you. The person who hurt me, they belong to you. It's for you to deal with them. So you keep pushing it back. Every time it pops up in your inbox, you just forward it on to God again. This one's for you, God. This one's for you. And it may pop up a few times in your mind because the memory of the hurt will be there. Am I making some sense? Okay. So forgive. Forgiveness will set you free, because when you don't forgive, you become imprisoned in bitterness, in hatred, in also in a fascination with the person who has hurt you rather than with someone who loves you. You're just thinking, that person, what they did. It's there all the time. You need to be set free. And forgiveness is the route to be set free. But forgiveness does not mean saying it didn't matter. It did matter, but it's not my job to punish. That's the freedom. Not my job. You just keep saying, God, this is yours. Message for you, God. Here it is. It's not for me. Okay, so that's forgiveness. Now, this is a great thing. If someone will put their hand up and say, I did it. I shouldn't have did it. I shouldn't have done it. I'm sorry. It's a great thing when someone does that. Now, the person who has hurt you may never do that. Just so you know. So you forgive in advance. Just as Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them. Okay? And it talks about forgiving each other, whoever has complained against anyone. So you forgive in advance. The person may or may not. If they do, it's a great thing. It's a great thing. And this is something you can do. You can't make the other person do it. But this is something you can tell the person. You can say, I don't like you parking in my parking space. Please don't park there again. You can do that. That's okay. You can claim what's your own. It's not wrong to say that is mine. You may not break it. Okay. The other person that has offended you, they might never say they're sorry. Okay. So don't be living saying, oh, well, just when that happens, then life can start going again. No, no, life goes on now without that. If you're saying you're sorry, there's a way to say sorry, and there's a way not to say sorry. And the way, let me stand on your toe here. Okay, I've just offended him now. Now I'm going to say sorry the wrong way. Here we go. Oh, I'm sorry if your toe is hurt. I'm sorry if that bothered you. That's not saying sorry. I'm basically saying, I'm sorry if, meaning I might be sorry, I might not be sorry. Okay? I'm also saying, I'm sorry if you're offended. I'm sorry. Oh, you've got a problem. You're the one with a problem. So I'm sorry, I'm going to help you out. You. No, 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 no. I'll do it again. This is fun, isn't it? Okay. Oh, I'm sorry for standing on your toe. I shouldn't have done that. Please forgive me. I'm sorry for. Say what you did. Take ownership. Don't push it on to the other person. Oh, I'm sorry if you didn't like me parking in your parking space. No, I'm sorry for parking in your parking space. I was careless. I shouldn't have done it. I won't do it again. I'm sorry for. The next word is for, not if. I'm sorry for. This is what I did. You put your hand up, you own your behavior, and you say, I did it. I was wrong. Three hardest words to pronounce in the English language. Have you ever said those three words? Say it with me, please. I was wrong. Oh, you see, you can do it. We can all do it. It's hard, but we can do it. I was wrong. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for shouting. I'm sorry for throwing things. I'm sorry for taking what was yours without asking you and breaking it. Ooh, I'm sorry for being late. I'm sorry for. And if you do that, it just creates a possibility for, you know, relationship to flow again. Instead of, I was late, but I won't say anything about it. Okay, where's the agenda? Okay, just, hey, what's there to be lost? Except, you know, bumblebee inside, humble bumblebee. Okay, what's to be lost except ego? I'm sorry. Put your hand up. Say what you did. When you do that, let's say you wronged someone and you say you're sorry. That's as much as you can do now. You can't go back and change the past. Okay? You did take the thing. You did tell a lie. You did take their stuff without asking. That's over. You can't go back and change that. All you can do now is admit it. It's humbling. There's a certain resistance to it. But once you do it, there's a great relief. Okay? There's that little hump you have to get over. This is going to be awkward. Sorry, I don't want to say, oh, that what I said, it wasn't true. I told a lie. I'm sorry. Okay? But when you say it, you open up the possibility of relationship again. This is called reconciliation. Reconciliation might be possible, and reconciliation might not be possible. Reconciliation takes two. You might say to someone you're sorry for your behavior. They might not choose to forgive you and receive you back. So there may not be reconciliation. Okay. Someone who has offended you or wronged you may not say they're sorry. There won't be reconciliation. Okay? Just so you know, reconciliation is not within your power. In fact, are you sitting down? Reconciliation is not within God's power either. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, people like us, says, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Reference if you want it. 2 Corinthians 5:20. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. There's God who wants you reconciled to him. He's done all he can from his side. He sent his son. He's opened his arms wide. He's announced the good news to you. Guess what? He can't reconcile you. He sends his apostle with this message to you. We beg you, be reconciled to God. It requires your response. Now, if God can't force a reconciliation, neither can you. So maybe someone has wronged you, and you wish for them back in your life. But they're not going to admit that wrong. They're just happy to have offended you in that way. You can't make the reconciliation happen. I know, it's sad. And for God, it's sad too. Or you've offended someone, and you've gone and you've confessed that, I'm sorry. But they say, thanks, but no thanks. You know, they don't want to take you back. You can't make it happen. It's sad, isn't it? But it's true. And it's good that we know this. Because, you know, there we are sometimes trying to have a relationship with someone who doesn't want a relationship with us. And we're sort of saying, come on, you're hard to hug someone. Very hard to hug someone who won't hug you back. Think toddler who wants to run off and play or something. You know, you're hugging and they're sort of, get me out of here. Let me away. I don't want this hug. I don't want this malarkey. Okay. Reconciliation takes two. When the prodigal son came back home, he was putting his hand up. I mean, he'd done some bad things, real bad things. He's blown all the money and all the rest. And he came home and says, I'll go back. And I'll say, I'm sorry. He went to his dad and he started saying, I'm sorry that dad hurt him. Yes, welcome back. Woohoo! Reconciliation. A bit like that. But his brother didn't take the same response. So what can he do? Well, the father went out and pleaded with him. You see, it lies within the power of that second individual to allow the reconciliation to happen. And when the story ended, there still wasn't that reconciliation between the two brothers. So you just can't make reconciliation happen. And don't hold yourself responsible. Don't blame yourself. Say, I'm doing it wrong. You may not get a response from the other person. So, like, there's only so much asking you can do. You can't just spend your whole life begging and pleading and begging and pleading and begging and pleading. You've got other things to do. So you throw the door open as wide as you can. Confess your wrongs, forgive their wrongs, if that's the thing. But whether or not there'll be a reconciliation depends on both parties, not just one. Okay, but it's great when it happens. Oh, some of the sweetest stories in my life and in people I know are relationships that were dead and buried and they came back into friendship again. Oh, it's so wonderful. I suppose that is the gospel, isn't it? You know, that's what God has done, and it's so wonderful when it happens in our own lives with people that we know and can name. People who are real people with faces and names that we've journeyed with and had a falling out with and had a reconciliation with. It's a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. Okay, reconciliation might be available or might not. That's a rubber ducky. Not a bubble guppy. Who knows what a bubble guppy is? Yeah, you got to have someone under four in your life to know what a bubble guppy is. Anyway, that's a rubber ducky. Why is a rubber ducky there? I want to talk about the issue of trust, restoring trust. And one wise man who I met last year was talking about trust. When trust has been broken, when someone has broken their trust, they've wronged someone in a relationship. And then they want to get back into that relationship. Building up trust again is like filling a bathtub with a dropper. Just because there's confession, just because there's forgiveness, just because there's reconciliation, doesn't mean that there is trust. There is no obligation on you to trust someone who has not proven themselves trustworthy. forgiveness doesn't mean I will trust you. Forgiveness is about the past. If someone has wronged you and you forgive them, what you're saying is, I will not punish you for the past. But don't be a fool. Don't allow someone back into your life to abuse you again if they have not shown themselves to be trustworthy. Wait till they fill the bath with the dropper. And after a period of time, they may show themselves to be trustworthy. If you have thought that forgiveness automatically means trust, that's the reason we don't forgive. We think, if I forgive them, they're going to come back in here and do it again. Those are completely different issues. You can forgive someone and not let them back in your life. You can forgive them and send them to jail for the protection of others if that's needed. You can forgive someone. Forgiveness is for the past only. Trust is for the future. Our same apostle, Paul, says in 1 Timothy 1:12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Jesus thought that Paul could be trusted with this job of preaching the gospel to us. I am glad that God gave that job to a trustworthy person, and not just to some jerk who wouldn't do it. Are you with me here? It was important that this job was done, and done right. Suppose God did just trusted everyone. Ah, sure, forgiven you. I've trusted you. I was like, ooh, you don't go straight from forgiveness to trust. If God had imparted this job to someone who didn't do it, then it wouldn't be done. The gospel wouldn't have been preached to the Gentiles. Where would we be then? Trust matters for the future. And you can only trust someone who demonstrates that they're trustworthy. And they do that over time. Now, it's great when there's a reconciliation. It's great when there's confession. And it's great when there's reconciliation. But, you know, if you're the father of a prodigal son, you know, you wouldn't send him to the bank to lodge the takings, would you? You know, I mean, he's got a half pass by Paddy Powers on the way. And the pub. You know, like, the guy, you'd slowly maybe trust him with a certain amount of money. But you wouldn't just say, sure, he's back and he's forgiven. So here you go. You look after the money from now on just to show we love you or something. No, don't be stupid. And the person who isn't trustworthy doesn't need to be trusted. Because if they wreck it, they're harming their own soul as well as the people they're involved with. So you don't trust someone until they've proven themselves trustworthy. I mean, you know that. Naturally, you know that. You don't open up and talk to someone if you think that your heart and your name isn't safe in their hands and in their mouth. You just naturally know, hey, who can I trust? Who have I seen to be trustworthy? And trust is something that's built up over time. And of course, we all love magic. We all love miracles. But God is the God of the long term. He's often called the eternal one. Okay? I mean, we dance and we sing when God does miracles and hallelujah. But you know, most of the time God's not doing miracles. Hallelujah. Most of the time he's just being faithful. You know, the sun rises in the morning as it's planned and the birds get fed and we get breath to breathe. You know, the regular, reliable stuff. Nature is what God does and he does it regularly and with style. Well, if you want to be like him, you be the person who can be depended upon like that. Just to, not to do dramatic things now and then, but just do what's needed continuously. Showing trustworthiness. Not telling that secret. You get another chance. You don't tell it again. You get another chance. You don't tell it again. So then someone's talking to someone who knows you and say, did you know I was going to do this? No, I didn't know. Like, oh, you didn't tell them. Well, then you ask them not to tell. You know, someone who's trustworthy over time who can maintain trust. So 1 Timothy 1:12, I thank Christ Jesus Lord. In the previous verse he says, the gospel of the blessed God which he entrusted to me. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has given me strength that he considered me trustworthy. There are people in your life and you consider them. I mean, they consider you too, but you consider people in your life and say, what do I think of that person? Do I think they could be trusted with a secret? With money? With a responsibility? Will they carry it out? Will they just forget all about it? Well, what have they done in the past? Well, the last 3 times they asked me to do something, they forgot. Okay, I won't give it to them. I'll give it to someone else. It's kind of basic, really, isn't it? And this is real. So let's just be aware of this and not just think that forgiveness means an open door to just, like, cause havoc and be as irresponsible as you like because you're going to get forgiven. And no, sir. No, sir. Forgiveness is a big deal. It costs a lot. It costs God a lot to forgive you. It costs us to forgive each other. There's a cost for everything. And trust is earned. drop by drop. And especially when it has been broken. When you get to know someone that's new, don't tell them your life story in the first 5 minutes. You need to know that they're trustworthy, and you share yourself with them, you know, as the relationship allows, and as they show themselves trustworthy. So let's not condemn ourselves if we can't be reconciled to someone who won't reconcile. Let's not condemn ourselves if we decide not to trust someone who hasn't shown themselves trustworthy. That's okay. Because if you just think, oh, I have to be like this with everybody, and you're going to trust everybody, some people are going to let you down. Then you're going to say, oh, you can't trust people. Well, now, people, that's a very broad word, okay? You can trust some people. You can't trust some other people. Some people can be trusted to do something. You can't trust me to, you know, do surgery on you. I don't do surgery, okay? Don't let me do that, okay? You can only trust someone within their competence and within their character. Okay, and that takes time. So, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that you, Lord, deal with us with grace. You bear with us, Lord. You forgive us. You speak the truth to us. And Lord, you, as we turn to you, Lord, we have this reconciliation. And Lord, thank you to you that we can build up trust. We trust you, Lord. You've proven yourself faithful. And that we can over time build up trust and grow into a place where you entrust us with responsibility to serve you. And Lord, we just pray for one another now this morning that just the insight of your ways will just give light to us, that we will just know how to relate to one another and to others in a way that, Lord, honors your grace. In Jesus' name. Take a few minutes, let that soak. If you want to say a prayer, say a prayer. If you'd like me to say a prayer for you, I'd be glad to. But just take a few minutes before the Lord with it.